Hi, welcome. I'm talking with a microphone just because we're recording this. Otherwise, really, I wouldn't be using this. My name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm several things at the library, including the film studies librarian, but I'm just something, and I'm trying to explain the reason why we have events in the first place, which is to advertise collections and services of the library. So this particular event crosses many services and collections of the library, including the comics collection, which is, I think we're saying these days, the largest collection of comics outside of privately held collections. So largest collection of comics in the world, and from an institution. Also, obviously, Muslim studies and film studies as well. When we show films, this is actually part of the film series. I just point out that all the films we show are available for checkout at the DMC, which is just right down the hallway here. You just show your ID, and they're good for 7 days. Tonight's event is co-sponsored by the MXU Comics Forum. Is anybody here from the Comics Forum? Well, good for them. And the MSU Muslim Studies Program. Tonight's presenter is Saddam Issa. Professor Issa came to the United States on a Fulbright scholarship and taught Arabic at Beloit College in Wisconsin from 2006 to 2007. He also taught Arabic culture, and Jordanian and the Jordanian dialect at Middlebury Summer Institute School from 2008 to 2011. He joined the graduate school at the Department of African Languages, Literature, and Linguistics at the University of Madison, Wisconsin, where he earned his MA and PhD in linguistics. How long have you been here at MSU?
Less than a year.
A year?
Less than a year, yeah.
Less than a year. He's new. His research interests include discourse analysis, sociolinguistics, the use of technology and anxiety in second language classrooms, visual rhetoric, and political cartoons. So please welcome Professor Saddam Issa.
Thank you so much, first of all, for your gentle introduction. Good evening, everybody. First, I would like to thank you for coming to this event, despite the beautiful weather. Actually, I spoke to my mom today and told her about the event and told her about the beautiful weather. And she asked me, why didn't we move it to the spring? And I told her, hey, we don't have a spring here. And told me why. I told her, once the snow melts, it jumps immediately to 100 degrees or 110 degrees. Today, we'll watch a documentary about the life of what is regarded to be the most famous and influential Arab cartoonist, Naji Al-Ali. The documentary is entitled Naji Al-Ali, An Art with Vision, and directed by Qasim Abed. Qasim Abed is a cameraman from Iraqi origin who lives currently in London. Naji Al-Ali was born in 1936 in Al-Shajara village. Al-Shajara means a tree. In Palestine, and grew up in a refugee camp in Lebanon called Ain al-Hilwa, the Eye of the Sweet. He produced over 12,000 drawings. Al-Ali's cartoons generally deal with the situation of the Palestinian people, depicting suffering and resistance and harshly criticizing Israel, the Palestinian leadership, and the Arab regimes. Al-Ali worked in Lebanon and Kuwait for several newspapers, like Al-Tali'a, Al-Siyasa, Al-Safir, and Al-Qabas. The Palestinian writer and journalist Ghassan Al-Kanafani, who invented what's called the literature of resistance, discovered his talent in drawing during his visit to the camp in the late 1961. Ghassan Al-Kanafani took some of Al-Ali's cartoons and published them in his magazine, which is called Al-Hurriya, The Freedom, that Ghassan Al-Kanafani used to edit. Al-Ali's first cartoons were published on September 25, 1961. Al-Ali commented on this incident by saying, I started to use drawings as a form of political expression while in Lebanon. While in Lebanese jails, I was detained by the Lebanese intelligence service as a result of the measures the Bureau were undertaking to contain political activities in the Palestinian camp during the 60s. I drew on the prison walls and subsequently Ghassan al-Kalafani saw some of those drawings and encouraged me to continue and eventually publish some of my cartoons, end of quote. Ghassan al-Kalafani was assassinated in Beirut in 1971 by the Israeli Mossad. Al-Ali used the image of a 10-year-old child for his cartoon's signature and named him Hamdala, which is an Arabic word for type of colocynth, proverbial for its bitter taste, which pre-Islamic poets of Arabic often cited to describe the bitterness of the separation from their beloveds. We will talk, we'll see his image and probably talk about him more because it becomes a national icon in the Palestinian history. When Al-Ali was asked about Hanzala's age, he responded, Hanzala was born 10 years old and he will always be 10 years old. It was at that age that I left my homeland, Palestine. When Hanzala returns, he will still be 10 years old and then he will start growing up. Al-Ali introduced Hanzala in As-Siyasa, the politics, a newspaper on July 13, 1961. And now I will let the documentary speak more and we'll be happy to receive your questions afterwards. Thank you so much. All right. The floor is yours. If you have questions, comments, I'd be happy to answer or reflect on any aspect of Al-Ali's life or any part of the documentary. And by the way, I know his son. We spoke a lot, actually, through Skype and in the phone. I spoke with him just 2 days ago. He's Khalid. Yes. Yes, the oldest son of Naji Al-Ali. And he's a professor of math, currently works in Bahrain. Naji Al-Ali's wife is still in London, as far as I know. And they recently were interviewed, I mean, Khalid and his mother, by Al Jazeera through a special documentary reflecting on Al-Ali's wife, and they actually commented on his assassination. Probably this is a very interesting, intriguing, probably point you may ask questions about. Who killed Naji Al-Ali? So either the Israeli Mossad or Yasser Arafat. Khalid was sort of diplomatic in his answer when I personally asked him. He said he can't charge anybody, but he said either Yasser Arafat or the Israeli Mossad. However, his mom leaned towards Yasser Arafat to be the killer because he harshly criticized Yasser Arafat and the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And that's basically it about that interview, like probably the most important thing. Otherwise, what you watch actually, the information that you elicited from this documentary, the same thing we're repeating in that documentary. But if you have questions, Dr. Muhammad?
I wonder, has there been someone who's picked up where he left off, maybe with a similar character like Hamdallah? Is that
Hamdallah.
Is there a similar character? Is there something like that after his death?
Very interesting question. The answer is no. However, Hamdallah, you know, the child, the 10-year-old child, which is his signature, becomes a nationalistic icon to the Palestinians. It is actually drawn on, if you go to Palestine, it's drawn on the walls as a graffiti, and it's it became like a keychain, drawn in jerseys. No one has adopted Naji Al-Ali's signature, Hamdala, probably for copyright issue, but sometimes, actually many times, Arab cartoonists tab in his signature. They borrow the signature, you know. The first Arab female cartoonist is from Gaza. Her name is Umayya Juha. Her style of cartooning, very, very similar to Naji Al-Ali. She's very, 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 very actually famous female cartoonist. She publishes her cartoons in Al Jazeera, in JazeeraNet. But no one actually had adopted Hanzala, probably for copyright rights issue. But I would say Umayya Juha's cartoons, style of cartooning, were the closest to Najil Ali's cartoons.
I see a follow-up question.
Yes.
Does Hanzala ever show his face?
This is very interesting question as well. When Najil Ali invented Hanzala, Hanzala used to face the audience. But after 1969, he turned his back to the people. Obviously, cartooning is entirely based on symbolism. And there is a symbolic message behind that. And that's interpreted as a rejection, particularly to the Arab regime's stance towards the Palestinian issue. In the Arabic culture, obviously in every culture as well, if you turn somebody's back to somebody else, this means that he's ignoring him or her. So he's ignoring the Arab regime's situation. In one of the cartoons that we saw, there are mics, right? And he has a sword, was cutting off the mics. And above the mics, there's actually a proverbial saying in the Arabic culture, which is literally translated into, what is taken by force can only be gained by force. The functional translation for it, violence begets violence. So here, the mics, the microphones, stand for what, do you think? The microphones, yes. The microphones stand for the Arab speakers. In other words, to the Arab politicians. They just speak empty rhetoric. They're speaking about Palestine, liberating Palestine, okay? And Arab politicians keep talking about it, you know, suggesting suggestions, involving with negotiation, peace negotiations. But it turned out to be fruitless. Now he stood up and expressed his opinion that if you want to regain Palestine, the mandate Palestine, the historic Palestine, according to Najil Ali, from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River, is by force, because it was taken by force, according to Najil Ali. So because of the disappointing Arab regime's stance, Najil Ali decided to, Hanzala decided to give his back to the audience, to the Arab regime. And Hanzala actually represents Najil Ali himself. Because Najil Ali was forced to deport Palestine when he was 10 years old. And that's the age of Hanzala. And he said Hanzala remains Hanzala. He didn't develop. The only development with Najil Ali, with Hanzala's icon, is, as you said, he turned his back to the audience. That's the only development. He remained himself, like he remained Hanzala, from the time it was invented till, you know, the last cartoon that Najil Ali drew. And if you look at Hanzala, let me show something. I want to reflect actually on Hanzala, because the way he looks like is very symbolic. So Hanzala here, by the way, Najil cartoon is really, really, really famous. Google decided to put Hanzala to commemorate his death in 2013. So that's actually another piece of evidence that shows his influence, his powerful influence. But let's analyze the Hanzala. This is a patch, right? To what? To symbolize the refugees. And he's bare feet as well, because, huh? No, actually, because when he left his house, he left his house bare feet, because in 1948, upon the establishment of the State of Israel, 400,000 Palestinians were forced to deport. 250,000 Palestinians were deported to Jordan, and 150,000 Palestinians were deported to Syria, Lebanon, and a little bit in Egypt. So many of them, when they left their houses, they left bare feet, because they have to leave, they have to save their life. You see what I mean? What's more interesting?
Why Hamdan don't have shown what he said? What Najla Ali said about Hamdan?
Because
he don't know the size of
this. What Najla Ali said? Yeah. I never heard him said that, but the books and the articles. He's a poor. Probably yes. I can take this argument. He's poor because he's a refugee, right? But also because when he left his house, bare feet. So that's what I know according, you know, to my research. What's more interesting about Hanzala, actually, in my opinion, is his hair. Couple of hairs here and there, and his hairs symbolize what? No. No. There is an association with politics. No, actually, they symbolize weapons. They symbolize weapons. So Najla Ali believed on the. He didn't believe in the political solution. He didn't believe in peace. He consistently criticized peace negotiations. This is why he published a couple of cartoons criticizing Camp David, the first official peace agreement between Arab states in general and the state of Israel, particularly between Egypt and Israel. So. He likens Hanzala's hairs with thorns used as weapons. Professor Muhammad asked a very interesting question. You asked me whether other people, you know, he use his style of cartooning or his icon or his signature. This guy. This was published today, actually, 7 hours ago. If you see, this cartoon was published 7 hours ago. This guy is a Palestinian cartoonist, a young Palestinian cartoonist. His name, Mohammed Sabana. He's making a presentation about Najla Ali and Najla Ali's cartoons, and he's talking about Hanzala, as you can see. So he's very, 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 very famous. Keychains, necklace. If you can go online and you can buy a jersey or a T-shirt with Hanzala painted on them. Here is actually a website for Najla Ali on Facebook that shows many of his cartoons, actually many of his pictures as well, documentary. Here, I just want to briefly. You saw lots of those people, characters. This is called the Maroon, or the elite people, representing the Palestinian elites who used to be living in Kuwait, and also the Arab politicians. He depicted them in, most often legless, deformed. And by the way, something that I learned, I mean, a couple of years ago, I never been exposed to it, that the Palestinian leaders in Kuwait, before coming to the West Bank, actually led a very luxurious life. They didn't actually care about the Palestinian issue and the people who were living in the refugee camps. He lived there, he saw them, this is why he harshly criticized them.
Where is Fatima?
Fatima? Of course. Well, there are a couple of we've seen lots of cartoons where Fatima were depicted. Fatima is the female character, and Fatima has three roles actually. Played three roles in Najla Ali's cartoons. She played the role of a wife. She played the role of a freedom fighter, and she played the role of a mother. So, wife, mother, and a freedom fighter. That's how Najla Ali depicted her in his cartoons. And there is the guy, you know, the one with the tall face. This is called a Zalama. Zalama in Arabic means the man. That represents the poor Palestinian, the husband of Fatima.
The husband that he always gave up and Fatima supporting him.
Exactly.
She was the symbol of the woman, strong woman. She never gave up.
That's correct. That's very much correct. And also, in literature, women usually depicted as what? Nations. So Fatima also represents the Palestinian nation. This is why she was strong. He wants to say, okay, Fatima is strong, then our nation is strong.
Why are you choosing?
Couple of reasons. I think Najla Ali is an interesting character. His cartoons are actually very, very interesting and very influential. They're circulated till this moment. This one thing. We can see lots of facts, actually. We learn a lot from this documentary. First of all, I wrote my I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison this past May,
yeah.
And I my dissertation topic was on picturing history, Palestinian political cartoons, 1967 to 2009. So one of my dissertation chapter talked about Najla Ali and Najla Ali's cartoons and how Najla Ali's cartoons actually constructed the Palestinian national identity, and how his cartoons and the Hanzala helped disseminate the national consciousness among the Palestinians and among the Arab populace in exile. I will repeat that question. Okay. Thank you. Sorry for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Questions? Okay. Najla Ali expected his assassination through a personal communication in Detroit with Juan Mandel, Detroit-based journalist and documentary filmmaker. Ali told her, "They expelled me from Kuwait to London under pressure from Saudi Arabia and maybe even from the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. They knew there would be a big fuss if I was killed inside. Easier to pin the blame on someone. If I'm killed outside in London, you couldn't easily know who did it." End of quote. So he was expecting his assassination. She asked, "In my point of view, who killed Najla?" I can't safely say who killed Najla, but I think I join his wife's opinion, because she was the closest person to him, by saying yes, Arafat is the one who stood behind his assassination. If you talk to Arabs, many of them would say Israel. But if you talk to really educated people who read about it, about Najla Ali, about his assassination, they would say it's Yasser Arafat. By the way, he started to be famous, actually, in the Arab world, like in the mid of 70s. And from that time, his cartoons were circulated inside Palestine. You see what I mean? There is a professor here in Northwestern University. Her name is Uraib Najjar. She's a Palestinian professor. Observed that Al-Ali's work, his cartoons, was reprinted in books, newspapers, and exhibits all over the Arab world. In the summer of 2004, T-shirts of Al-Ali's signature, Hamdala, competed with the image of Yasser Arafat, Hamas leaders, as well as Che Guevara in downtown Ramallah. That's also another piece of evidence that his cartoons were circulated inside Palestine and were quite famous. I would like also, probably I would end, unless you have questions, by showing you his very first cartoon. It was published in 1961. This one. So this is actually, this is a page of Al-Hurriya magazine, Freedom magazine, that was edited by Ghassan Kanafani, the Palestinian novelist, who invented the literature resistance, what's called Adab al-Muqawama, Adab al-Muqawama, the literature of resistance. And he's very, 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 very famous Arab Palestinian novelist. He was assassinated in 1971 by the Israeli Mossad. And the Israeli Mossad, you know, confessed of that. So Ghassan Kanafani paid a visit to Ain al-Hilwa camp, where Najl Ali used to live. There was an exhibition. So he saw lots of drawings, but he saw this cartoon. This one, actually, he liked it a lot. Ghassan Kanafani liked it a lot. He took it and published it in his magazine. It was like a big shot for anybody, actually, for Ghassan Kanafani to publish something in his magazine. So Najl Ali was obviously a poor person. He used to, you know, work for people in their yards, pick up oranges, apples, and stuff. He was picking up oranges when he was informed about his cartoon publication in Ghassan Kanafani's magazine. So he threw the oranges and he ran to see his publication. So, and this cartoon, was that? That's correct. That's correct. So this cartoon, actually, this is a tent, right? And he, so you see here patches. This is the tent of refugees, right? At the top of the tent, a hand tore the tent with light, with like a torch, like holding a torch. He wants to say simply, hey, we are refugees, but there is hope, which is symbolized by the torch. And also, it depicts strength when this hand tore the tent. You see what I mean? So very simple, symbolic. It's very easy to interpret as well. Very can be easily understood. But if you think to draw it, you can't. This is why Al-Safir editor said naive. It's simple but super smart. Easily can be accessed.
Most of Palestinians can draw.
She said that most Palestinians can draw Hamdala now. I can't, unfortunately. I can read cartoons, but I can't draw cartoons. Yeah, obviously. Any questions? Any comment? Yes, Miles. Well, I never read something about that, but I know that he was hoping to study art in Italy. But I know also there's a very, very, very famous Egyptian cartoonist. His name is Salah Jaheen. Very, very, very famous. Every Egyptian should know him. Najl Ali liked his cartoons. and who was a little bit influenced by Najil, by Salah Jahin's cartoons. But I never read or hear that he was influenced by any Western cartoonist. But I know that he was interested in studying in Italy, but he couldn't, because of the economic situation he was experiencing at the time. Any question? All right, thank you so much. Thanks for coming. For sure. Thank you.